Thank you. Well, just a huge thank you for having me up here tonight. Well, if you've closed your Bibles over, or you've turned off your phone or your tablet, can I ask you to reopen them and turn them back on as we look into Ephesians 2? And while you're doing that, I've got a question for you. Question is, what is your favourite sound? I'll let you think about it. What is your favourite sound? Well, for me, as whenever I was in school, my favourite sound was 3:30, the final bell, going out, home time, straight home. I lived across the road, I loved it. 3:30, that bell, I lived for it. Or maybe it's someone saying those three special words to you, up the duns. I mean, I love you. Maybe it's those three special words, you just love to hear it. I'm not sure, but I'm going to ask you here just to shout them out. I like a bit of crowd participation. If you just shout them out, what's your favourite sound? Sound of the sea. Oh, it's nice, isn't it? Lovely. Oh, down by the Port Stewart. It's lovely, by the sea. Yep. Is there any more? I'm going to come to this side. I'll pick yous out. Brian, what's your favourite sound? What, when you think of a... Abba song. Shouldn't have asked Brian. An Abba song. That leads to my second question is actually, what is the sound that you hate? What is actually the sound that you really can't stand? It might be the sound of fingernails going down a chalkboard. It just sends shivers down your spine, doesn't it? Awful. Or, I actually think about that. Actually, I've got a friend. His name is Aaron. And he actually works in a hospital, and he hates this sound. Every time he hears that sound, shivers goes down his spine. He absolutely hates it, and for good reason too. If you turn your heads down to Ephesians 2, I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. It says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." So Paul is writing here to the church in Ephesus, and he's reminding them of who they are and who they once were. And he's been giving praise to God because of their faith in him. And he's been praying for them, and he's just filled with joy because of them. And so we come to this passage here. He continues to remind them, and he uses strong language here. He says, "You were dead." Not for the simple fact of you were in big trouble. He doesn't say that. You were kind of asleep. He says, no, you were dead. And why were they dead? Because of their trespasses and their sins. Well, your version might say the disobedience and sins what they have caused. So what exactly is sin? If this is such a big thing, let's look a wee bit more into it. Well, the Sunday school answer, and actually it's the right one, it's anything that we say, think, and do that displeases God. That's right. But actually, let's look to see where sin started from. Let's look to see where did this sin start. And so, of course, we go back way to the start of the Bible in Genesis. I can see how God created the world. And God said that the world is good. And all he created was perfect. And then he made Adam and Eve. And he says, that is good. They are good. But he says to them, okay, enjoy this. But don't eat from that tree. That one tree, do not eat from it. So, okay, those are simple rules. Enjoy everything, but not that one tree. So, one day, See, Satan comes in the form of a serpent and says, come and eat a piece of this fruit. And they go, we have been told not to do that. And then the serpent questions God, did God really say that? And we know, because we have heard this story lots of times, that actually they ate from the fruit and instantly sin had entered the world. The world had been totally changed because of that one moment of a selfish act. And God then actually had a plan that one day the serpent's head will be crushed. He will send someone to rescue us. But we'll come back to God's plan later on. So ever since then, sin was in the world. And because of it, we are dead in sin and our trespasses. And if you look on down again to verse 3, look at what it says. It says, among whom we all once lived, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by the nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. We all once lived. That's a great phrase, because he's saying there's no one is exemption. We are all born with sin. Paul's even included himself in this. He's saying that we have all sinned before God. That we're all in this together, that we lived our way. I love the singer Frank Sinatra. He's a brilliant singer. Would love to go, if I could, would love to go back to hear him live, but obviously he can't. But he sung the song My Way. And as you know, he's also said, I did it my way. Well, actually, as children of wrath, we can sing that too, because we wanted to live out our way as well. So we can sing this with Frank, that we lived in the passions of our flesh. We lived what pleased us, our selfishness and our pride. We wanted to live that up. But then, because of all that, then we became children of wrath as well as of mankind. This is totally bleak. This is totally darkness. And if it ended here, we'll have absolutely no hope. What a way to sign off, isn't it? That we were once dead. It says in the book of Romans that the wages of sin is death. But thankfully, there's verse 4. And for me, this is one of the great next few verses for me. I just absolutely love this passage here. And verse 4 is brilliant. It says, and if you look on down, verse 4 says, but God being rich in mercy, because of the great love for which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. This is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. I absolutely love those words, but God, because it changes everything. It was all bleak and doom. You're thinking, what is happening here? But then he uses phrases, but God. Because why? Why is that such a great phrase? Because of his great love for us. That even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, that he made us alive in Christ. Because by faith you have been saved. Well, this is fantastic news, isn't it? This is absolutely brilliant. That we can go out there and proclaim that. But it's only fantastic if you understand it. If you understand those words that he is saying. So let me give you a quick definition of a couple of the words of grace. Grace means receiving something you don't deserve. It's different than mercy. Mercy means you don't receive something you deserve. Have you got that? So grace means receiving something you don't deserve, and mercy means you don't receive something you deserve. For example, I'm not sure about you, but whenever you get home from school, this was me back in the day, still now and again, I have to admit, from work, I get a wee little bit snackish. I like to go home and I see the biscuit tin. And my mum and dad always said I wasn't allowed to eat from the biscuit tin until after tea. This is a good rule, if you're a parent. As a kid, it was awful. It was torture. So I waited until they left the kitchen. I left too, to make it less obvious. And then snuck back in. And I would left out one, well, two, well, three at the most. So no more than three. I'm not that greedy. And I had three of the Kit Kats. I'd be munching into them. Kit Kats are great. Next thing, Dad walks in. Caught red-handed, caught eating the stuff I should not have been eating. And so what do I deserve? A punishment, and rightly so. I disobeyed what my parents said. I did my own thing, and I deserve punishment. So mercy would be, my dad would say, Stephen, that's a terrible thing that you have done. You have disobeyed us, but I'm not going to punish you. That is mercy. Grace would be, Stephen, that's a terrible thing. I'm not going to punish you. And here's a glass of milk. Wash it down. Receive something that I did not deserve. He took away the punishment there. And so this is a huge difference between grace and mercy. Most of us humans have extended mercy, even though it's not the easy thing to do. We don't speak the hateful words back as someone has spoke to us. We don't hit back. We don't return hate for hate. Those are all acts of mercy. And most of us will give out these small acts day by day, and sometimes big ones as well. But grace is totally different, because grace is a gift. It's a gift. And that is given not because it's been earned, but simply because it is needed at that time. So here in this passage, we see God's mercy and grace for us, something that we don't deserve, but came at such a high cost. Remember in Genesis 3 that we were looking at, that God had a plan to deal with sin, that he was going to send someone to crush Satan's head. And as you know, the wages of sin is death. But that is because of God's great love. He sent his son to earth to live the perfect life. He was fully God and fully man. And he went on his three-year ministry healing and proclaiming that about God. And then he was sent on a dodgy trial to be killed, to be hung on the cross. But he wasn't hung there for nothing. He was hung there for our sin, for all of the things that we have done, for all of the things that this church in Ephesus has done. That Christ hung there for them. He hung there for us. That through his death and resurrection that we have been made alive. That we were once dead, now we're alive through his death and resurrection. Our debt has been paid. And if we fully believe this and we repent means if you just totally turn away. You're walking one way, you're walking in your evil desires, and you turn completely around and want to follow Christ. Well, this is something that we can really rejoice in. And this is not something that we have done. This is not something that we have worked at, because if we did that, well, then we would be boastful, wouldn't we? If we said, how great I am. Look at me, I have done this. No, this has nothing to do with us at all. Because if we did that, that's actually more acts on our self-righteousness that we don't have. This is all because of Christ and what he has done. Because our Father in heaven and his great love for us. And then if you turn your eyes down to verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is such a great statement. Just let that sink in a second. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for which God has prepared beforehand as we should walk in him. God, who created this world, who we look back in Genesis and made everything that we have seen. Whenever you're standing on Portstewart Beach and you hear the sound of the sea, we can actually marvel at God's great creation. It's absolutely fantastic. And yet that same God has created us. He created you here tonight. He cares for you. He absolutely loves you. But you might be here tonight and you say to me, Stephen, you haven't a clue what I've done. You don't know my background. You don't know what I was thinking this week. God cannot love me. You have no idea what I'm going through. And you're right, I don't. But God sees everything. God created you and he cares for you and he loves you. And he said, my grace is for you. And you're like, not a chance. So, and the writer who wrote this was Paul. And Paul actually wrote the letter to Timothy, who was a young pastor at the time. And he says, I was the worst of sinners, as we said, I was the worst, because if you don't know who Paul is, he was formerly called Saul. And so Saul was one of the top dogs in the Jewish authority. And he went around killing Christians because he thought he was doing God's work. He killed the Christians. Then one moment, Jesus came face to face and changed his life dramatically. And so from then on, he said, okay, his name's Paul. And I see Paul was one of the greatest missionaries that we've read about. And what a transformation that is. How someone who killed Christians can become a child of God, who can become a follower of Christ. And so no matter who you are tonight, no matter what you have done in the past, grace is for you, grace and mercy. If you trust and believe in God, and if you repent, sorry for your sin, and if you know Christ tonight, what an absolute joy this is. You might be having a tough week, a tough month, a tough year, but our debt has been paid. We are free, we are made alive in Christ, so we can have joy in that. I don't know about you, but I love to talk about things I'm passionate about. Some of you might not know. If you haven't, I apologize. I am a Dundella fan. Dundella are my team. They're from East Belfast. They play in the second tier of Northern Irish football. They're brilliant. Yesterday, they won 5-0. Unbelievable. 5-0. I didn't expect that. I wanted a point, but 5-0. So I came home, marching through the door, proud as punch. Went upstairs to Megan. Megan, guess the score. Megan was very kind and actually played along with this game because she didn't care. So she said 4-2, I said no, 5-0. I was buzzing all day and all night because 5-0 we won and we're top of the league. Unbelievable. Or for you, it may be you love to talk about your grandkids because they're brilliant. They're starting to walk or they're starting to talk and you're talking about them all the time because they're such a bundle of joy. Or maybe you got a bargain in the shop. You're shopping in town and you got a bargain. The Marks and Spencer's a yellow sticker and you love to show it off. You take it to Instagram, post it up. Oh, I got a big plate of sandwiches from £18 to £1.80. Oh, nice. Instagram that. That was a good one. But am I talking about these things with the passion I have? Am I talking about these things the same as Christ? Am I talking Christless boastfully? This proudly saying, Christ, look what Christ has done for me. Christ, I was dead in my sin, but actually Christ made me alive. Am I sharing this message with that much passion? And that really hit me hard. Am I doing that? And so I feel he's asking the same here. Are you doing that as well? Are you proclaiming Christ in this great, great story that we have? That you were once dead, and now you're alive. Or maybe you don't know Christ yet. Well, I urge you to consider him tonight, you've heard all these things. Consider Christ, and it's just a marvelous thing that what he can do for you. Or maybe you call yourself a Christian, but you're not really living it out. You do all the right things. You go all to the right places. You go to church. You go to your CU, and you say the right things in front of everyone, and then when you go home, you're not living out. You don't mean it. Well, an old preacher and evangelist called Leonard Ravenhill, I'm sure a lot of you folks here have heard of him. He once famously said this. He says, "Are you dead to sin, or are you dead in sin? Are you dead to sin, or are you dead in sin?" And that is the question he asked the group of folks that he was at the conference, and it's the same question here that we have to face. Which one are we? But let me leave you with this here as a close. It says, you've been looking at David here on the Wednesday night prayer meetings, and we've been looking at the book of Psalms, who David wrote a lot of them. And we all know that that God said about him that he is a man after God's own heart, and he was such a great, great guy. Well, he wrote in Psalm 51, after he committed adultery with Bathsheba and fell deep into sin. Listen to what he wrote, and what he said, and what he prayed. And this could be our prayer tonight here. If you feel distant from God, it says this: "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from my time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired my faithfulness even in the womb, and you taught me wisdom in a secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity." And verse 10, this is brilliant. It says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your great love for us here. Lord, that while we were still dead in our sin, Lord, you sent your Son Christ to come to die on the cross for our sins to make us alive in you. And Lord, I pray that, that you will remind us of this day by day, so that we can be effective for you, so that we can go and tell our friends and family and our work friends all about you and you alone, so that they can come to faith in you. And Lord, I thank you that we are now adopted into your family, that we are a child of God. We're no longer children of wrath, but we are the children of the Most High, And we can call you Father God. We thank you for these great truths. Lord, I pray that through your power of your Holy Spirit, Lord that you'll speak to us and that you will renew a steadfast spirit within us as well. Lord, thank you for all that you've done for us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.